glad to be saved. I'm glad to be secure. And I'm glad to have friends in San Antonio.
Amen.
This is quite a meeting. You guys are very special to us. Amen. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for letting us come. And thank you for letting us preach and many kind words that have been said. Don't worry, I won't let it go to my head. You're nice because Jesus said to be nice. I get it. The hospitality, as usual, is off the charts. And we thank you for that. And we're humbled that you just make a place for us in your life and take good care of us. And thank you in advance for the love offering. I have no idea what it is, but it's always above and beyond, just like everything else around here. Thank you. I covet your prayers. We both do. And you have ours.
Amen.
And, yeah. And so we just look forward to seeing what the God's going to do at this meeting. It was a joy to me to see a couple of guys got saved two years ago, to see them this morning here. And they've been here. That's a blessing.
Yeah, amen.
A lot of times you don't ever see them again. You'll see them there. But it was a blessing to me. So, Ms. Wonderful, anything you want to say?
I'll start crying, so I can't say anything.
You want to wait till after you get done singing?
I'll see.
That sounds like a yes. Father, please help us.
Lord, I feel so empty, seems like we're so far apart. Even though some may applaud me, you alone can see my heart. You don't look at my achievements or my ability. All you really want is all of me. And though it's hard for me to give up my control, there is only room for one king in the throne room of my soul. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from Pharaoh, now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. But the eyes that only look to earth will lose their rich rewards. Of the fellowship eternal, the blessed unity, the ones who live in Jesus no longer search in need. Oh, I love the gifts he's given, but I love the giver more. And to worship him more perfectly are what those gifts are for. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from Pharaoh, now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me.
Amen. Well, he saves us, gives us a home in heaven, puts our name in the book of life, and then the fight is on. The fight is on with our flesh to do right. And meetings like this are important as we encourage one another, as we get fed from the Word of God, as we beseech God on behalf of others. That's what it's all about, to strengthen the spiritual man. And praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's victory, there's progress, little by little as we mature and grow in the grace of the Lord. That's what he does. He turns the desert that was in our soul into a promised land. The promise is, the hope that's in us is the hope they have. That's important responsibility. Can we sing one more?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Is that funny? Why you put... Hard guy to read. All right, let's try this.
In the land of Judea, across the dark sea, God sent his son to redeem you and me. As a lamb without spot, he was slain for my sin, and he purchased salvation for all mortal men. In a tomb owned by Joseph, his body was laid. They thought it was over, but on that third day, they found his grave clothes and napkin close by, and an angel announcing that he was alive. Hallelujah, shout the battle cry. The blood of the Savior gives eternal life. Death was defeated by Jesus, it's true. And because he lives, I can live too. And because he lives, I can live too. There were many who'd seen him and proved him alive. After 40 days, he arose in the sky. To those gathered round, the angels did say, this Jesus who left will return the same way. Many years have gone by since he left us that day. Still we are looking, we watch and we wait for the sound of the trumpet to ring through the skies. Then God's people will leave in the blink of an eye. Hallelujah, shout the battle cry. The blood of the Savior gives eternal life. Death was defeated by Jesus, it's true. Because he lives, I can live too. And because he lives, I can live too. Hallelujah, shout the battle cry. The blood of the Savior gives eternal life. Death was defeated by Jesus, it's true. And because he lives, we can live too. And because he lives, we can live too. Amen.
You want to say something now?
Thank you all very, very much for being so welcoming and so hospitable and extending your friendship and fellowship and brothership and sistership and all the ships. And just thank you for being steadfast. Thank you for being here year after year. That means a lot to us.
Amen.
To not come find a bunch of folks that aren't here. That's just a blessing. It's important to see your faces here year after year. So thank you so much for all you've done to make us feel so welcome.
Oh my.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to leave.
I know.
Just stay.
Yeah.
We got another week. Another week of revival.
We're going to have a little notice for that. We got an appointment. I don't know, about 800 miles from here for next week. Pray for Pastor Greg Reinhart. I met him about 3 weeks after I got out of jail, which was over 34 years ago. We're in a big, my pastor somehow decided to take me to a pastor's conference. I think it was just to get me out of town. I had permission from a federal judge. There was 100 preachers there, and it was a missions board, and I just soaked it up. That's where I met Brother Jack, and I met a lot of people. They all remembered me. I had a black shirt on with white buttons. I had a black leather jacket. Amen. I had black hair then, I think, and a long ponytail. I was the only man in the room with a ponytail. Amen. And I was, like I say, right out of jail on a pre-sentence investigation, and day and night for 4 days, I just soaked it up. Soaked it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. I met Brother Greg. He met me. He remembered me, but everybody remembered me. But later on, within a period of just a couple years, we became good friends. When I started in evangelism and didn't have near as many meetings as I have now, I think I was at his church four or five times a year, a revival here, a youth rally here. Hey, I'm in the area, and parked there Sunday, and he got cancer a couple years ago, and went into remission, and things were looking good, and it's come back with a passion like it sometimes does, and we had a cancellation in New Orleans area, and Lord said, you get over there and hang out with your friend for a week, and I'll fill the pulpit for him next Sunday. Please pray. Bible Believers Baptist Church in Panama City. Now, they're strong in their faith, and they're going through it, and God will get them through it, but it's the prayers of the saints that make the difference sometimes. Please pray for them. Pray for Brother Greg and Miss Debbie, two of the finest Christians. I mean, high school sweethearts got saved at 18 or 19 in a Southern Baptist church. And got a hold of the Bible, went to Pensacola Bible Institute, and been in the ministry since middle 80s. And I know a lot of good people, but these are two of the most gracious, kind people I've ever met. Good examples. And so pray for them.
Amen.
If you would. And there's still time for the family plant. Say, what do you mean? Well, that's when the trumpet blows and we all get out of here together.
Amen.
That's what I've been praying for a long time. All right, I got one more little story for you. An Amish boy and his father were visiting a mall. First time they'd ever been in anything like that. They were amazed by almost everything they saw. But they were captivated by two shiny silver walls that could move apart and then back together. And when the walls moved apart, they saw there was a room behind the walls. And they both sat there for a long time staring. And the boy asked his father, "What is this, father?" And the father responded, "Son, I have never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what it is." And while the boy and his father were watching wide-eyed, an old lady in a wheelchair wheeled up to the moving walls, pressed a button, they opened. She wheeled in, and the doors closed behind her. They were really fascinated then. They waited a little while later, and the doors opened again. 24-year-old good-looking gal walked out. They were really amazed, and the father said, "Son, go get your mother." Well, you know, you said, never mind. I thought it was funny. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles, one of them C words. You go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and we'll read verse 8 together, but I'm going to read a verse to you out of 2 Corinthians 10. In verse 3 there it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." I love the military theme of the Bible. Amen. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 8. It says this in verse 8. It says, "And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains." What a description of a dedicated fighting force. Faces like the faces of lions. Amen. I want to preach you on this thought tonight, the ABCs of spiritual warfare. And to fight spiritual warfare, we need to be fit for the battle. And I'll give you some thoughts on it. Let's pray again. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for caring about us enough to come and make a way for our sins to be forgiven. Forgive us for taking that for granted like we do sometimes. And Lord God, thank you for the refreshing that we've experienced this last week and a half, Lord God, and in our effort to get our mind fixed and focused on thee. And Lord God, I pray that something would come from this week that would last, like Brother Stephen said, longer than the final amen tonight. And I'm confident it will. Lord God, I pray you'd help me to say something tonight that encouraged these brothers and sisters to just take heart and stay in the fight. It's a good one. And I pray, Lord, if there's somebody in here who might not be saved,
A lot of good people in America. Many of them know your name. Many of them believe in you, but they don't know you personally. They're not saved. And I pray if we got somebody like that in here tonight, that tonight would be the night they make it personal. Lord, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude, Lord God, to you and to these precious folks. And I just pray and ask that everything goes on tonight would be according to thy will. I thank you for Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Couple of things by way of introduction. I was in the military. I was a light weapons specialist. Thank you, taxpayers, for the thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition I got to shoot for free. Amen. I was an infantryman, a weapons specialist, trained in Fort Polk, Louisiana, the armpit of the Army, they used to call it. It was a swamp. Amen. And one of the things that we had to learn, basic training was in Kentucky, and we went down there to those swamps. And part of our weapon training was to be able to take our individual light weapons apart, put them back together blindfolded, as if we were in the middle of the night in a firefight, whether it be a 45 or an M79 grenade launcher, amen, or well, our weapon of choice at the time was the M16. And after finishing there, I went over to Fort Benning, Georgia, to the paratrooper school. And you can pay $100 and go out to a local airport and have somebody give you a class on how to jump out of an airplane. Then they strap you to somebody. That seems very awkward to me. And push you out. You can make a jump. The paratrooper school at Fort Benning was 14 hours a day for 3 solid weeks. Why? Did it take that long to learn how to jump out of an airplane? No. It took that long to make going through everything you had to go through and jump out of an aircraft second nature, so that when you got to the ground, you weren't worrying about the plane. You weren't worrying about the jump. You weren't worrying about that. You're worried about the mission that you're going to fulfill. That was my experience with the military. What I'm saying is it's important. Weapon, number one, by way of introduction, is weapon familiarization. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. It's not rifles, it's not guns, it's not grenade launchers. It says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, go ahead and go there. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul says this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare.
Amen.
Paul told Timothy, and it's true for us as well, to war a good warfare means we have to be familiar with those prophecies ourselves. Amen. That means we have to be proficient with the Word of God. Amen. You need to know more than just the contents and where the Bible, where the verses are when the preacher says turn. Amen. You need to hide the Word of God in your heart for your benefit, that you might not sin against God, but that so you might be a good soldier.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. Weapon familiarization, a familiarization without it, you will not be able to war a good warfare. Number two, enemy identification. I was in the Cold War 50 some years ago, and we studied the Russian infantryman. We studied everything about him. We knew the uniforms. We knew the officers from the enlisted. We knew their weapons. We had to fire and be able to dismantle their weapons in case we got hold of them. We knew everything about them, but the thing that stuck with me the most is when they described in our classes, when they described his attitude and his spirit, I found out something about the Russian soldier. He was no wimp. He was no punk. He was every bit as convinced that his cause was just as we were, and if we took him for granted, he would kill us.
That's right.
And sometimes where people make a mistake when dealing with an enemy is that they don't take him seriously enough. And we were taught to take our enemy seriously enough if you wanted to go home. Amen.
we're talking about the enemy identification on September 10th, 1813, upon the defeat of the British fleet, at the Battle of Lake Erie. There's a monument there right in my wife's hometown up there on Lake Erie, Ohio. Commander Oliver Hazard Perry. What a middle name. Amen. He wrote to Major General William Henry Harrison. There's a famous quote, "We have met the enemy and he is ours." And that sent the message to, that we had defeated the British fleet up there. Amen. I saw a satirical variation of that, came out in the early 70s. I didn't see it that early. I remember seeing a poster in a pastor's office that showed two castles on two hills. One was the enemy, the devil's crowd, and one was the Christian. And the enemy was firing at our castle. But the Christian side, they weren't firing back at the enemy. They were firing down at other Christians. They were firing at their own. Amen. And the captain said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Yeah. And sometimes we're the greatest hindrance to getting anything. With everything God's given us, sometimes we're the very hindrance that keeps us from ever doing anything for God. Amen. Maybe we need a refresher course on enemy identification. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Talk about special ops. Those guys are invisible. We do not have night vision goggles that can see our enemy. And because we can't see them, and what I've seen in the years that I've been in the ministry, is that because we can't see our real enemy, we tend to wrestle, well, against flesh and blood. Whether it's our family, whether it's our parents, whether it's our preacher, whether it's our sinners out there that God has commissioned us to go and be a light in a lost and dark world. Amen. Maybe we need to have a refresher course, I'll say it again, on enemy identification. Another thing, situational awareness is very important in the infantry. In Luke chapter 6, it says in verse 39, "And he spake a parable," and this is the Lord, "and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch?" Amen. You've heard it said, I imagine, there's a ditch on either side of the road. Amen. As a guy that's been on the road for 50-some years, half of it for the Lord and half of it for the other guy, I know something about the road. There's a ditch on either side of the road. Devil doesn't care which one you're in. You can be in the super Pharisee one over here, or you can be in the drug addict and the, you know, sinner ditch. Doesn't matter to him as long as you don't end up in the right place. That's why Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's why the Bible says the way is narrow and straight. Amen. Devil just wants to get you off track. But if there's a ditch on either side of the road, that means for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. I'm going to tell you what, we need to keep our guard up. Amen. We need to be aware of where we are. It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Amen. It's important. Circumspectly means to know what's going on around you at all times. Amen. That's important in the military. That's important on the street. And it must be important to the child of God, because Paul put it in the epistle to the church at Ephesus. And some Christians, it seemed like they get blindsided and knocked out of the battle because they got like tunnel vision. Tunnel vision kills. Amen. And that seems to me like common sense, but I had an edge on this circumspect thing. But then again, so do you if you read your Bible, because it's right there in your Bible. We need to know what's going on around us. Christians that say they believe the Bible, say they read the Bible, say they're aware of spiritual warfare, and then they get knocked out of the fight, and it's like the first thought that comes to my mind sometimes is, I mean, when I hear, "I can't believe it happened to me," well, that tells me they don't have much of a relationship with their Bible. Because the Bible teaches you that anything happened to you. Yeah. Amen. Who are we? Why can't? Somebody said once to my wife, "Why? How could this happen?" And my wife said, "Why not? What makes us special?"
Right.
Amen. Sometimes the very trials that we have to go through are the things that God uses to enable us. I mean, you comfort others, where with the comfort? You were comforted, and we never went through nothing. Well, then we'd just be some little clique somewhere, and we wouldn't make any difference for the cause of Christ. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 2 and verse 4, no man in war hath entangled himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'm telling you, we need to maintain situational awareness. This world will intentionally entangle you to the degree that you will not be able to make.
That's right.
You'll not be able to war a good warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. The word media is a big word these days. The word means, the word media pertains to communication, right? Medium, it comes from the word medium, an intervening agent. You're going to think I'm smart. I looked it up. An intervening agency means or instrument. That's what the media is. Of course, we talk about the news media. Amen. It's not the only media. But you and I should be tapped into spiritual media.
Amen.
In other words, in constant communication with God and interacting with God through the Word of God and from our knees. Amen. That would be spiritual communication with our Savior. Our marching orders come from Him.
Amen.
But we have the devil, I'm confident, has brought us social media, which is, you don't have to come and tell me, but I understand that. I'm not categorically condemning it, but it is a problem in many ways to many people. And what it is man interacting with man, where we're supposed to be interacting with God. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
Amen. And so that's why it's social media. I was anti-social as an outlaw biker, so I got a leg up on some of you guys. Amen. I like this crowd, and that proves I'm saved, because I didn't like any crowds before I got saved. Amen. But we're talking about social media. You better be very careful, because if you let it, it will interfere with you warring a good warfare. Amen. We're all accountable to God. You talk to God about what you do, don't do. You don't get your marching orders from me, but you need to get them from Him. And there's sometimes you just need to say, God, I heard the preacher say this, or it looks like that. What about that? And go to God and run it by Him. He'll let you know. Amen. Don't Google it. Get on your knees, man.
Amen.
All right, so in number four, and remember, this is just the introduction. Operational integrity. I mean, that's of the utmost importance in any kind of warfare. Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Amen. I mean, you're not going to declare war on the country tomorrow, are you? Amen. No, we're part of a unit. Every soldier in the military is an integral part of a unit. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Now, if you're gonna be a soldier for Jesus Christ, that's paramount. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Then you're a unit that can maybe have an effect. In the military, you have something called a MOS. A military occupational specialty. Everybody has a job. It's got a number. Again, I was an infantryman. Mine was 11 Bravo. 11 Bravo. Light weapon specialist with a P designation because I was a paratrooper. And so then when you get a DD-214, when you get out of the military, they give you a discharge papers, not the pretty plaque with the eagle on it you put on your wall, but a document, and that'll have all your information. Everything's on there. And there'd be a place for your MOS, your military occupational specialty, and then next to it is the civilian equivalent to what the military spent a lot of money training you to do, and the box next to it is your civilian employment code, and it tells your employment agency what this guy's qualified for. So if you're an infantryman like me, in the little box next to your job description, it says A. So I spent from 18 to 21 training to be a warrior, and there is no civilian equipment. No wonder I joined a bike gang. All I knew how to do is fight. But I'm going to tell you what, as a child of God, we have specialties too. And successful warfare requires everybody doing their job. And every job is important. Just like every branch of our military is important. Amen. Amen. We have fun with each other. We go back and forth. But at the end of the day, we're all on part of the same unit. Amen. Same team.
Amen.
Tell you something else about the military. Every unit has a chain of command. Amen. I can imagine what it'd be like if some guy, in his sixth week of basic training, went up to the drill instructor and said, "Hey, I've been here a couple weeks now. I don't think we ought to do it that way." He won't be around long. Amen. And when I went into basic training, I went into private. And 8 weeks later, I got out, and I was still a private. And then I went to infantry school as a private. And 9 weeks later, I came out, and I was still a private. And I went to jump school, and I was a private. And when I got out of 6 months of intensive training, I was still a private. Just because you've been through a little schooling doesn't make you an officer. Somebody's got to be in charge, and it ain't you. That's easy to understand in the military, but sometimes people don't get that in the church. It says in Titus chapter 2, Paul wrote to Titus that these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Authority is imperative. Leadership is imperative for cohesion in warfare. So is fellowship.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And that don't change from the battlefront to this battlefront. Amen. So we're just talking about spiritual warfare tonight. ABCs of spiritual warfare. And four factors of successful warfare: weapon familiarization, and enemy identification, and situational awareness, and operational clarity and integrity. And I look at that list and I'm thinking, man, that's us. That's our job. That's our description. So that's what I want to preach on. Number one, the A. All the ABCs, the A, stands for all the way. The motto of the United States paratrooper is all the way. My mom bought me a mug at Fort Benning in 1972. Beautiful ceramic mug with silver around the top. She came down from Toledo, Ohio to pin my wings on me. Amen. As a 19-year-old kid, me and my mom both had tears in our eyes. Amen. I still got that mug. I can't believe it survived 50-some years. And it never got broke. I'm surprised the feds didn't smash it when they smashed everything else. Amen. Probably wasn't there. But all the way was the motto, and when a paratrooper approaches an officer, we're, of course, any military man is required to salute an officer. But what we were required to say was, the officer would say, "How far?" And then we would salute and say, "All the way, and then some, sir." Because we knew that our job was to go above and beyond the required or the average or the normal. We were supposed to conduct ourselves as if we were indeed a part of an elite military unit. Amen. I can't think of anything more elite than the body of Jesus Christ. I can't think of anybody that deserves more of that attitude all the way and then some.
Amen.
Then Jesus Christ deserves that. Laodicea, that's the age we live in, is happy. If you just tag along, you come once a week. Make sure you bring your wallet, but come once a week. We encourage folks to come every service. Amen. I'm proud of you, Vernie. You got out of jail on Monday and been here, 6 days in a row now.
Amen.
We're taking tomorrow off, but son, you need to be here on Wednesday. You need to be here next Sunday. That's where the rubber meets the road. I'm just trying to help you. I got out of jail on a Friday, and there was no church on Saturday. I hadn't been in a church in over 20 years, but on Sunday morning, I went to the little church that sent the gospel to me to thank them. You know what I saw? I met a bunch of people that were more concerned about what I'd done with Jesus Christ than what I'd done as an outlaw biker and a federal criminal. And I'm going to tell you what I saw for the first time, something that I was looking for all my life, something real. These people believed this book. They believed in our Savior. They believed we had a mission to represent Him in a lost and dying world. And I said, man, where do I sign up? They said, you already signed up. Welcome aboard. Be here next week. Amen. And I told the guy in the jail, I says, what do I do now? I did what you said. I prayed a prayer. I'm not going to hell. I didn't even know lingo yet. But I said, everything I'm good at is illegal at 37. I didn't have a job skill to go back on. Everything I was good at, again, was illegal. And then I said to him, right in a visitor in the attorney privilege room at the county, I said, all my friends are crooks. What am I supposed to do? And at that point in time, I wasn't even sure I was going to get out and make bond. That was 3 weeks later. And that guy opened the Bible and he looked at 2 Corinthians 5 and read verse 17. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he looked at that and he looked up at me and says, looks like God's going to have to give you some new friends. That's simple to him. The Bible says so. It is that simple.
Amen.
Amen. We keep trying to figure out what the Bible means. Let me help you with that. It means what it says.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I went to that little church and you know what? God gave me some new friends.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, it still blows me away. Amen. I'll tell you what, you know what happens when you get in? I mean, all the way. Now you come because you should. People get a hold of that. If Jesus Christ did what he did to make a way for your sins to be forgiven, and the Bible says you should go to church, and it does.
Right. It does.
Good. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what we're doing. We're assembling ourselves. You guys have done great. I go to churches and preach a 4 and 5 day revival and people aren't there every night. Well, let me see. We'll go Sunday, but maybe Tuesday. You want to go Tuesday? Let me tell you something. I've never, ever, ever, a conversation I've never had with that gal right there. Hey, there's a meeting tonight, honey. You feel like going? She throws something at me. If I even implied that we weren't, we just go. Bible says you to go. Amen. So we go. Amen. And we go first out of duty and first out of curiosity maybe. And why would Jesus do that? And then, okay, yeah, I get it. I've heard the message. I should. And I don't go out of duty anymore. I want to be here. Many years ago, church went from a got to a get to. Amen. Sunday's my favorite day of the week. Amen. And I'm in church, you know, often, not quite this often. So thank you, because it's fun. But, amen, next thing you know, you get all the way in. And then some of the things that might tempt you are that they're ridiculous. You don't even consider them anymore as you mature as a child of God.
Amen.
We're talking about spiritual warfare. A, B, C. A is all the way. Get all the way in. Number two. Now we're trying to come up with military type terms. Batten the hatches. How many ever heard that before? Batten the hatches. Amen. It's a real thing. Amen. It's kind of a Navy thing. But I'll tell you what batten the hatches means. It means prepare for a difficult or dangerous situation, as in rough seas. Amen. Now, I get to preach in a lot of churches. I've been over in Norfolk, Virginia a couple times, preached in a couple churches where sailors were in the church. Hey, Brother Spurgeon, you want to go on a ship? We go down to the port in Norfolk. I've had a personal tour of the USS George Washington, the flagship of the Atlantic Fleet, nuclear aircraft carrier, 1,025-foot flight deck. Amen. And I couldn't go everywhere, but I'm being escorted around this ship. And when you go from one compartment to the next, there's a door, but this is a big steel door with a wheel on it, and you gotta step over, amen. And I'll tell you what, when things start getting crazy, especially if they get hit in combat, and might start leaking, they start batting in hatches and shutting them off. so that it won't cause the ship to sink. Amen. To batten the hatches means to seal them. Am I right, Brother Melvin? So far, so good. Amen. You and I got some hatches that need to be battened more often than they are.
Amen.
For example, we got an ear hatch. I know this is kind of different. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, there in Sodom, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He did not lose his salvation. He lost everything else, though. Amen. The Bible refers to him as a righteous man and a just man. God's got more grace than I would for that guy. Amen. But it's real clear, vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing. You better be careful what goes in your ears. You better learn to batten the hatches. You better learn to turn it off or walk away. That Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. Some of us got saved out of a life where the language is so foul and so frequent, we had to pray to get victory over talking like a sailor in church because it was just part of our life. But then again, we come into a place, a church where there's young people that have been raised, amen, around the book and raised around preaching and raised around keeping their focus on the Savior. And then they get to that point in their life where they start to stray and they want to rebel a little bit. To a degree, it's normal. And then they start listening to things they shouldn't, and they start, especially there's another bad thing that social media enables people to do, is become privy to things they wouldn't even know about. Next thing you know, people that had good manners have corrupted themselves because of evil communication. Beware that ear hatch. And then this one, the mouth hatch. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How much? None? We didn't even have to go to the Greek or Hebrew to understand the word no means no. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. It's not subject to your opinion what's corrupt and what's not. It's defined in the very verse. If it doesn't edify, if it doesn't minister grace, chances are it needs to be left alone.
Amen.
That'd be the rule of thumb. Here's the deal. Garbage in, garbage out. We need to learn to bat the hatches. Amen. Here's what helps me. Psalm 19 verse 14 said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, because they're connected, Luke chapter 6, let the and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Would to God we remember before we let something come out of our mouth to run it by the Lord.
Amen.
And one of the things that happens as you mature as a child of God, you learn to do that kind of automatically. But as a younger child of God, it's like going to school, man. You got to make a concerted effort. You don't let the flesh run the show. This doesn't fly. Well, that's just the way I am. You would not want Dave Spurgeon. You would not let Dave Spurgeon, the way he was in your church, let alone behind your pulpit, saved or not. We're supposed to change.
Amen.
For the glory of God.
Amen.
All right. And then you got the eye hatch. Amen. We're just at doors. Let people in and out. Let a sailor go from one compartment to another. We've got doors. I've heard it referred to as the eye gate or the ear gate. Amen. That all works for me, but I'm calling them hatches because I thought it was kind of cool. Amen. I don't know. But anyway, the eye hatch, Psalm 101 and verse 3, it bears repeating, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Cleave. So what you set before your eyes cleaves to something. But it don't cleave to your eyes. It cleaves to your mind. And that's the hardest hatch.
Amen.
To batten. Like we mentioned the other night. Sometimes when I least expect it, oftentimes it's in prayer, a thought will come into my mind and you get blindsided, and we know we have an enemy. We already discussed that. Let me tell you what the problem with some people is. They come to a place where they trust their flesh. And then they don't have much grace or compassion with other Christians because they think, how could they let that happen?
Amen.
Well, you're setting yourself up for a rude awakening if that's your attitude, because anything could happen to any of us at any time. Amen. But by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. We need to keep our guard up, and we need to try to batten the hatches of our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 says this, for the weapons of our warfare, that's what we're talking about tonight, spiritual. That's what Paul talking about. Are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'll tell you what, you better keep those other hatches, the eyes and the ears and the mouth, batten, because once it gets your mind, it gets a lot harder.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He says, cast down. You realize that requires effort? Amen. That means you got to do some cast down. How do I cast? Where do I cast it down to? You better cast it down under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. That's where. It says, bring every thought into captivity. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That book can transform your mind.
Amen.
If you don't transform your mind, you have no choice but to be conformed to this world. He saved you out of this world. Take Egypt, that's a type of the world. Take Egypt out of me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, and again, saturate yourself with the Word of God. Amen. Batten the hatches. Next, commit. Commit beyond retreat. Here's what I've noticed. People that leave themselves an out are way more likely to take the out. People that leave themselves something to fall back on are the most likely to fall back. You know what we need to do with plan B?
Amen.
Chuck it.
Yeah.
In spiritual warfare, there is no plan B. We're to commit beyond retreat. The passage that impresses me about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, amen, when faced with the fiery furnace, amen. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18, and they tell Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able. Is your God able?
Amen.
Well, that's easy to say, it's easy to sing, but I'll tell you what they said. But if not,
yeah.
I mean, committed beyond retreat is whether he does or not, you trust that he knows what he's doing. Bible says all things work together for good. You believe that? You believe God's got your best interest at heart? I'm going to tell you what, you ever really get a hold of that, it takes a lot of pressure off life.
Yeah.
It really does, because you can trust God. We sing about it. We quote verses. We have to learn to do it. One of them, I don't know which one, Meshach, Shadrach, or Abednego said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve other gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's inspiring to me. And Daniel did the same thing. At risk of being thrown in the lion's den, they went into the fiery furnace and came out, didn't even smell a smoke, and Daniel went into the lion's den and named all the lions and probably made friends with them. I made that up. But that's a faith, and they were committed because they didn't have a promise. God didn't say, okay, go on, I'm going to show them something here. They went where they went, just like a lot of these missionaries through history have gone to the foreign field. They don't have any promise. They're not going to, and many of them have suffered. Amen.
Amen.
Terrible ends. But they were committed. Paul wrote it like this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
And am persuaded that he is able to commit that which I have committed unto him against that day. I've committed some things to God, and I, without his help, I will not keep my commitment. But I've committed it to him, and I'm confident he'll keep it. That's what he said. I like that. Amen. Number 3, commit beyond retreat. ABC, all the way. Batten the hatches and commit beyond retreat. But then, you know, we got a D. So this is like really the A, B, C, D, E, F. So D is death before dishonor. I'll make it quick. Huh. Death before dishonor. You know what it says in John chapter 6 and verse 67? Well, 66, John 6, 6, 6, probably just a coincidence, I know. Amen. From this point, maybe I better read it. From this time, you know the verse? Read it to me, point it to me, quote it for me. From this time, many of his disciples, all right, we're going to get it. John chapter 6. That happens all the time, you know, you think you got it, you know, and the Lord says, you dummy. It don't bother me when he says that to me. John chapter, that's a long chapter. John chapter 6, verse 66, the Lord speaking, well, the Lord not speaking yet, but he said, from that time, many of his disciples went back. Disciples, these are people that invested something. They're not the multitude that got a fish sandwich down by the lake. These are disciples. And it said, from this time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Does any marvel, you pastors, that people still do that?
Yeah.
They did it to Jesus. Amen. It wasn't because of persecution. It's because of hard sayings.
Yeah.
Hard sayings. I didn't like his tone of voice. I didn't like that. And they went back. It says, and then Jesus saith unto the 12, verse 67, will ye also go away? Amen. Oftentimes we get told, we've been at this a little while, and we get told, it's so good to see you and Mrs. Spurgeon still at it, still in the fight. My answer is the same as Peter's answer. Jesus said, will you also go away? Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's the words of eternal life. There ain't no place to go. There's no place to go.
Right, amen.
Don't turn your back on him. Death before dishonor. You're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well die right.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. Might as well finish your course.
Amen.
Like Paul did. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's no crown for quitters. You're going to die anyway. And after this, the judgment. And I wouldn't want to be up there going, boy, I wish I'd have stuck it out.
Right.
I wish I'd have gave my preacher or my brother, my sister, the benefit of the doubt. I wish I wasn't so quick to just cave into my stinking flesh.
Yeah.
And that laughter you hear in the background when you do, that's the devil. I don't like making him happy. Amen. We need to just put that in our resume, death before dishonor. Lord willing, Lord helping, but he does and he will. All right, how about this? Engagement, E, engagement, as in rules of engagement. We have no shortage in this world and the body of Christ of armchair commandos. Yeah, amen. I had somebody say, I don't think you're doing it right. And I said, well, I'd rather be doing it wrong than doing nothing like you.
Amen.
Amen. I heard this from somebody that got vocal about probably on social media about critiquing a professional football coach all the time. Somebody from their living room, you know, across the country saying, this guy don't know what he's doing. You ought to fire him. And that coach said, I wish all you experts, when you get done with your hot dog, would come down to the field and show us how it's done. But you know what, the armchair quarterback, armchair commando, yeah, it's easy to sit back and critique anybody that's trying to do something without doing anything at all. Amen. They don't engage. Sometimes the rules of engagement are engage.
Amen.
Amen. I wrote this down in a Bible years ago. The church has become like a fishing club. Fishing club. The members have all the gear. They got the terminology down pat. Got endless stories to tell and when they used to fish, but in reality, oftentimes, there's not much fishing going on anymore. Amen. Just like to sit around and talk about what we used to do. I don't want to be a used to be Christian. I want to finish my course.
Amen.
I understand as we get older, we don't do the same thing, but I'll tell you what, part of getting older is making sure somebody's raised up to take your place.
Amen.
Amen. You don't ever get to the point where you're not of value. Amen. Because it's the older men that are commissioned. It's the older women that are commissioned to teach the younger.
Amen.
You don't ever get off the hook. Amen. You do not get off the hook, Brother Lindell. You're very valuable. Would somebody amen that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So combat readiness is a perishable skill. If you don't use it, you lose it. So I want to encourage you, when this meeting ends, to engage. We got a visitor here that come because a brother was down street preaching today. Praise the Lord. That's what you're supposed to do. Thank you for coming, Merle. Merle, I remember your name. Amen. Thank you for coming. And he's sitting there nodding his head. Sometimes we get visitors like, where am I? And he's nodding his head. This ain't the first time he's heard any of this, is it, Merle? Thank you for coming tonight. Amen. Let's listen. Complacency is the enemy of spiritual warfare. Don't be guilty of it. Don't you dare be guilty of it. Amen.
Amen.
Last of all. See, they didn't amen because they don't believe me. I get it. But let me just say this. Forewarned is forearmed.
Yes.
Let me tell you something about the military. Intelligence is a very, very important part of warfare, gathering intelligence. Solid, reliable intelligence lets the troops know what they're up against. And the greatest, the authorized version of 1611 is the greatest source of intelligence known to man.
Amen.
And the consequence of ignoring it, consequences are eternal. It's a good fight, brothers and sisters. Let's fight it till he calls it. Amen.
Amen.
And my prayer is that he takes us home before March of 2027. But if he doesn't, Lord willing, we're on the schedule. So are you. Vernie, you better be here.
Amen.
Amen. And all y'all too. Amen. Thank you for a good meeting. You made it easy to preach. You made it easy for me to look like I know what I'm doing. And trust me, I'm married. My wife lets me know. And not really. She's my biggest fan. I don't know how I ever tricked her into that. But we love you guys. We mean it. Let's fight the good fight till the commander calls us home.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking forward to that. Father in heaven, I thank you, God, for this church. And I pray and ask that you bless these folks. Bless the leaders here. And God, keep them on track. And may the people just yield themselves, Lord God, to the teaching and preaching of the word of God, that they may grow thereby. Lord God, help them, Lord God, to get busy witnessing. We have a visitor here from a flyer. Those are the kind of things we need to not ever let go and talk about what we used to do. Help us to be busy about your business. Lord God, we pray you come get us soon. But we know why you haven't.
Amen.
There are souls out there that wouldn't have a chance.
Amen. Amen.
And help us, Lord God, to be mindful of the things that are important to you and try to keep this flesh down. Amen. This flesh that wants to do what it wants to do and give you a token weekend once in a while. God, help us. This meeting has helped me focus and refocus. And I pray the same for someone else. And I love you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you're pleased with this week. I sure have been. And I trust that you are too. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Thank you, church. Amen.